I'm going to begin. First of all, I want to a just I want to dedicate tonight's sicha to a first. I definitely want to give another shout out. He deserves many, many shout outs. But again, I got to give a shout out to Avi Goldstein. Just seeing him in the morning. I see about 35 guys. 35 guys. I see 35 right now also. But 35 guys at the Dvar Halacha in the morning. And Avi Goldstein is always one of those 35, and that is absolutely crazy. The Dvar Halacha is at 9:20 New York time, which is 6:20 Los Angeles time, and he's up. And he's I spoke to Rav Chagai today. He's he's up at Seder. He's up at Shirmi's. So that's very, very chashuv. I want to also just highlight all the LA guys in a certain sense, because this program of learning is obviously much more challenging for guys on the West Coast because of the time differences and the fact that again I see the guys who I see who are coming to shir on time daily and to me that's a chashuv zach, even if they're not yet on the madrega of some others who get to who get up at 6 in the morning. But that's not the point. The point is to be mosa nefesh and to come. And it's the program is clearly built on a New York schedule. So for the LA guys who are pushing themselves and despite that challenge, I think is very, very chashuv, means a lot. So again, I see the guys in my shir, so I'm not going to call them out. They know who they are. But seeing other guys also that are involved and doing to the best of their ability is very, very uplifting and meaningful. I would say again, just personally, the biggest challenge for me, I had many challenges for me, but the biggest challenge for me in this format is I do find for myself, I don't know what, I'm just talking out loud, that the shiurim and when I'm frontally involved with my shiurim, when I say my shiur, my morning shiur is a group of 18 guys, my afternoon shiur is a group of 12, 13, 14 guys. So there's a kind of a personal connection that you have to the guys. Despite the fact that we're not together, but that we are together via this technology. And I find for me, with the guys in my shir, there is a real connection, a daily connection, which continues, Baruch Hashem. In terms of what I feel missing is the connection to the broader yeshiva. And the thinking was that, maybe, a Dvar Halacha every day, which, is longer than what we usually had in davening, the sicha would get the whole yeshiva together, would create that connection. And it's not as shayach, when you have, talking to the entire yeshiva, or at least, whoever shows up, but talking to a group of guys, a larger group of guys, where it's not as interactive. To me, that's the one of the fundamental things that I miss about regular yeshivas, the daily interaction with everyone. And that's, to me, is a loss, is a painful loss, is something, that I feel very much. And we should, do what we can to overcome that challenge. But it's something that I certainly feel is a real thing. I wanted to share a short few messages with you, but one profound message comes in this week's Parsha's Bichukosai. We read, and there's an amazing, amazing pasuk with an amazing Rashi, with an amazing message. It's right in the beginning of the Parsha, and the Torah tells us that if we do the mitzvahs, life is going to be good, and Hashem is going to take care of us, and we're going to have rain, and we're going to have food. V'achaltem lachmechem lasova, v'yishavtem labetach ba'artzachem. There'll be security in the land. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. It's going to be awesome. There's not going to be pestilence, no plagues, no disease. It's going to be unbelievable. And it says then, the pasuk writes, that any of our enemies, we will vanquish our enemies. Urdaftem es oyveichem v'naflu lifnechem lacharev. We'll be able to vanquish our enemies. V'rodfu mikem, and we will be able to run after our enemies. Five people, chamisha, five people will chase Meya, and five people will run after Meya and will vanquish them. And Rashi says even five of our weakest people will be able to knock off 100. Wow! So there's a 1-to-20 ratio, and we'll take them down. And then the pasuk continues and says umeya mikem, and 100 of them will be able to knock off rivava your dofu. Will be able to knock off 10,000. So the Rashi is bothered by the following. Is if you look at the ratios in these numbers, the ratios don't seem to really work out. It says 5 will knock off 100. So that's a ratio of 1 to 20, 5 to 100. And then it says 100 will be able to chase away 100,000. So that does, I'm sorry, 10,000. 100 will take away 10,000. So that doesn't, that's not right. It should be, if it's times 20, if the ratio is a 1 to 20 ratio, then 100 should be able to take out how many? If the math is correct, 2,000, not 10,000. So that's, Rashi's bothered by that. You know, you could say this pasuk is just some kind of poetic license, but that's not what Rashi writes. Rashi writes over here, the math doesn't work out. The ratios are off. Ella, so he says, amazing, amazing comment. Ella eina dome mu'atim ha'osim es ha'torah limerubim ha'osim es ha'torah. There's a fundamental difference between 5 and 100. And when you have 5 that are osik ba'torah, They can knock out 100 people. They're worth 20 times. But if you have 100 people learning Torah, so that's going to multiply. There's an exponential power that has. 5 is not the same. 100 just multiplies exponentially. And that is a core and fundamental idea. And I see that in so many different venues. Is that, I'll tell you again, talking out loud and talking personally. When I'm in a shir, and I'm in a shir, and there's 18 guys in the shir, and the guys are into it, and they're steiging, it's a totally different experience. A totally different experience than when there are 3 or 4 or 5, in terms of the energy, in terms of what can be produced, the potential that shir has, the potential yeshiva has. It's the yeshiva of 10 guys versus yeshiva 100. It's not just 10 times more, it is exponentially more. And in this sense, I like to speak about the idea of this is the GOC. This is exactly what a GOC is that when we're in a little bit, a smaller group, so it gives us a certain koach, a certain power, a certain potential. Certainly, it gives us more than one, but it's limited. And when you expand that group, and it's a group not of 5, it's a group of 100, so then the power of that group is exponential. So again, think about when you're with the chevra, and again, it's a chevra of a shir, a chevra of a yeshiva, and now we're in this very unusual situation where we're being challenged in a unique way. Now we're being asked, the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking us in a very unique way that, you know what, you can rely on your chevra, on your tzibur, but I also want you to build up your individuality, your individual muscle mass, because that perhaps is missing a little bit. Sometimes we are too reliant on chevra. We're too reliant on a shul for our davening. We're too reliant on a base medrash, on a yeshiva. And sometimes that is a camouflage for some of our personal failings. So now we have to understand that message, but at the same time, go ahead and live with an inner drive and an inner strength that we have to pull out of ourselves. I got a voice note today from an alumnus, and he tells me he's really, really struggling. He says he misses yeshiva desperately. And he says it's getting to him, the you know, being not in shul and being not in yeshiva, not in a base medrash, it's really starting to affect him. And it's totally normal, totally natural. But at the same time, I think, if I may have the hubris to suggest that perhaps the challenge now is to build up that individual power, that individual muscle mass, to go ahead and say, even without my classic and traditional tzibur, which on the one end is very, very propelling, on the other hand can also be, sometimes I can, you know, there are guys who have told me they're learning better now, ironically, when they're on their own, because you don't get as distracted. You can be more focused. So there are pluses and minuses, but perhaps to go ahead and take advantage of some of the opportunities that we have. I want to address briefly a concept and an idea that I hear a lot about. And again, some of us are with our parents, you know, we're much more with our families than we have been in the past. And sometimes that can be, that often is awesome, that often is great. But sometimes we can get caught up in a concept which I want to address with you a little bit. And that is, again, it's appropriate to this week's Parsha. Also, the famous Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, Im b'chu kosai teilechu, shetei ha-meilim ba-Torah. But sometimes when we get caught up in, again, some of you guys are taking college classes. And there's a lot of talk about college coming up, whether we're coming back, Shana Bet, Be'ezrat Hashem, if we're not coming back Shana Bet, but there's always this whisper in our ears that we have to begin and start real life. And there's always this kind of real life, as if what we're living, what we lived this past year, and our yeshiva and everything else, that's not real life. And we have to get into a sense of real life. Now, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a sicha which he quotes C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Studies in Words. And in this book, he addresses this idea of what is called real life. And the things that, like, people, adults, so to speak, they value the most. Adults value real life. And he says, for example, many people relate to a business deal as an expression of real life, while writing poetry or engaging in philosophy are pursuits not deemed worthy of such a dignified title. Money, work, college, business, degrees, that's real life. Philosophy, poetry, that's not called real life. And Lewis, C.S. Lewis, claimed that the source of this mistaken distinction is to be found in the deeply ingrained conviction, listen to these words, not mine, C.S. Lewis, of narrow minds, that whatever things they themselves are chiefly exercised on are the only important things. The only things worth adult, informed, and thoroughgoing interest. And what we find oftentimes is in the world that we live in, money, parnasa, job, opportunity, that's called real life. And everything else kind of has to blend and fit into that model. And that creates a tension, a real tension. And the question is it really, really true? I am not here to tell you that earning a parnasa and getting a good education and developing yourself in those areas is not critically important. Critically important. I'm a first-hand believer in all of those concepts. However, one has to also understand that a life that is also imbued. I can talk secular with deep conversations, books, philosophy, poetry, or religious, lahavdil, Torah learning, connection to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, this is all aspects of real life. And Pirkei Avos tells us in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yuches, a Mishnah that you're very, very familiar with, we are told, and do not, this is sometimes misunderstood, because people quote this a lot, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. We get that. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. Without derech eretz, literally means parnasa, there's no Torah. Without Torah, there's no derech eretz, there's no midos. Does that mean they're exactly the same, that the Mishnah is creating equivalence between them? I don't think so. I don't think they are equivalent. They're both necessary. They're both important. Derech Eretz is necessary for Torah. Torah is necessary for Derech Eretz. But that doesn't mean that the Mishnah is creating axiological equivalence in their value and in their importance. And that's something to keep in mind. There is a beautiful Avos D'Rabbi Nosson, which I would like to share with you. It talks about life. And we're talking about what is real life. And it identifies, the Mishnah identifies, Asara Nikru Chayim. There are 10 things that are called life by Chazal. Listen to these 10 things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Chayim. Torah is called Chayim. Yisrael is called Chayim. Tzadikim are called Chayim. Gan Eden is called Chayim. Eretz Yisrael is called Chaim, according to Psukim. I'm just giving the bottom line. Gmilas Chasodim is called Chaim. Mayim is called Chaim. And Chacham are called Chaim. 10 things. If you look at the 10 things, of the 10 things, one of them, Mayim, is physical. Every other item in that list, Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Torah, all of these other right things that are identified on the list are all spiritual. They're all matters of spirituality. To create a vision, a life vision, that physical things, monetary things, gashmias, that's real life. And other aspects of our life is just like everything's got to just fit in. That's a real and fundamental distortion. And I think when we are in kind of getting into this, there's a stunning Gemara I'll just share with you. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he mentions it, is that he points out the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yud Gimel, Kiddushin Samach Vav, where there's a detailed technical machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon on Zrikas Hadam in the Beis HaMikdash and Tumim Tahara. After this whole discussion, technical halachas, Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Akiva, Kol HaPoresh Mimcha, when anyone who leaves you, Rabbi Akiva, is Keporesh Mechayev. It's as if he's leaving his life. In other words, somehow, Rabbi Tarfon sending the message that a relationship with Rabbi Akiva, a relationship with Torah, a relationship with Beis Medrash, that is real life. We learned in Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago a beautiful Gemara about David HaMelech. And David HaMelech was told he was going to die. He was going to die. And he was told he was going to die on Shabbos. And he was very upset about that. He didn't want to die on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a good day to die. And he also understood that as long as he's learning Torah, he's not going to die. He understood that. Because learning Torah is life. If he's learning Torah, he's not. So he learned he was learning. But he didn't want to die on Shabbos. So he asked Hashem, do me a favor, let me die on Sunday. And Hashem said, no, I can't let you die on Sunday because Shlomo HaMelech's reign already begins. I can't encroach on his reign. So let me die on Friday. And Hashem says, no, I'm not going to let you die on Friday because your learning and your tefillos is more valuable to me than 1,000 karbonos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. So it's going to be Shabbos. Two amazing comments in that Gemara. Number one is, so David understands, if I'm learning, the Malach HaMavis can't get me. Because somehow, a connection to Torah is life, is Chaim. Number two is, what was the point of David's learning? You see, young people such as yourself, and Aurel, I'm going to shout you out. Aurel used to think this also, all the time. What's the point of learning? Like, what's the point? And okay, halacha lamaisa, I gotta learn halacha. Fine, there's a point to learn halacha lamaisa. Okay, maybe it'll make me a better person. So that's a good thing to do. Learn because it's gonna make me a better person. David HaMelech, Hashem said, I don't want you to die on Friday because of your learning. Because your learning and your davening is so valuable to me. So wait, we're going to wait, and we're keeping to the plan. We're going to do it on Shabbos. What was the point of his learning on Friday? Halach lamaisa? He was dying the next day. What was the point? The answer is, there was an inherent value in the Limud HaTorah. Inherent value. Ki heim chayenu. Im bechukosai teilech. Rabosai, Atem hadvekim b'Hashem chayim kulchem hayom. When you're a dovek b'Hashem, and that's through Limud HaTorah, it brings you to a different place. It brings life. Gentlemen, we are at the end, towards the end of the year. 3 weeks left, 2 weeks before Shavuos. Mamish, the end of the year. And it is time. It's appropriate, even though we're in this abnormal situation. It's appropriate over the next period of time with your Abbeim, with your Chavrus, with each other, to think, to reflect. Where am I at? Where is Torah in my life? How much have I grown? What do I still have to accomplish? And I'm a big fan, and especially during pandemics, I think about the book, The Tipping Point, by Malcolm Gladwell. I tried to find the book in my house. I couldn't find it, but I remember it. And he opens the book with the Yesod. For those who's read the book, just give me a thumbs up if you read the book with your real hands. If you read the book, okay. The Yesod of the book. It's fascinating. It's very kedai. But the Yesod of the book is that it's a book about societal trends, sociology. And the way sociology works is we're all kind of products of our society, and the society has like movements, has what he calls tipping points. He gives he doesn't give this example because it's written too long ago, but the iPod, Apple is a great example. Is Apple, when they were producing their products, so they make their products and people start buying. This one buys, that one buys, 3% of the population buys, 5% of the population buys, 8% of the population buys, 18% of the population buys, 27% of the population buys, and then 3 weeks later, a month later, 70% of the population has an iPod. And the reason is because it hit a critical mass and it tips. That's what we call the tipping point. He points out that the way this works in epidemics, pandemics, is the same idea. This person gets sick, this person gets sick, this person gets sick, and at some point, the disease spreads, and it spreads, and it hits a tipping point, and then like, boom, like it's all over the place. And that's how this disease works. That's called a tipping point. He speaks about it in terms of neighborhoods. You might have a white neighborhood, for example, and some different races start to move in, and it might, one family moves in, another family moves in, another family moves in, it hits a certain critical mass, and then there is what we call sociologically white flight, and the whole neighborhood tips in a certain direction. That is the idea of a tipping point. And when I think about Bachrim in Yeshiva, and I think about how this could apply, this concept to Yeshiva, I think about a personal tipping point. I might even use the term, I think I've used this term before, or you use the term, I don't like this term, but you use the term, not the tipping point, but the flipping point. And what I mean by that is the point where, like, a boy takes on this Kabbalah, this mitzvah. He's davening now minyanim three times a day. He's making Asher Yotzer every day. He's learning Torah every day. He's getting into his learning. He's more and more. And then he, as a person, has tipped. He has, like, made this shift into becoming a real Ben Torah. And that now permeates who he is as a person. He started with this Kabbalah and this thing and this thing. And the accumulation of all those things, now he's tipped. And he's different. He's become a real, real Ben Torah. And now that's who he is. That's who he's become. And that's a fundamental goal and something that I think we definitely, definitely want to think about. When I think about what brings joy, what brings me joy, what brings a person a real sense of simcha. So the Maharal says this. Animals do not have simcha. They don't have a sense of simcha. You don't find, animals don't smile. Humans smile. Animals don't smile. And he suggests that the reason for that is because simcha is an emotion, is not something you get from physical pleasure. Physical pleasure might give you pleasure, but real simcha, internal simcha that's on the inside, that's emotional, that's a uniquely human experience. And it doesn't come. Simcha does not come from physical things. Simcha comes from a more neshama-oriented place, from a more internal-oriented place, a place of connectedness, a place of accomplishment, where a person feels good about who he is and what he's accomplishing. The Maharal says the word lismoach comes from the same etymological root as the word litzmoach. Growth and simcha go very, very much hand in hand. And I want to close with one story, one Gemara. Story and a Gemara. Actually, I'm interested maybe in two stories and two Gemaras. But I also want to get to sleep. So, two stories, two Gemaras. One story is a story of a Talmud in my shir in the morning. I'm not going to call him out by name, but the guys in my shir, you should know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's a guy. He has shown me over this zman incredible, incredible potential. He showed me his notes. He showed me how far he can he can get Havana in Torah. How far? And it just it requires that discipline, that connectness. And I saw, you know, and sometimes it falls, and sometimes it's up. But when you see a potential, and you see what can happen through connectedness and the simcha it brings, the chayim it brings, the life it brings, that's the chayim I'm talking about. That's the kihem chayenu that I'm talking about. That's that sense of contentment, joy, of real growth and simcha. There is a gemara that I want to share with you. A gemara in Maseches Yuma. It's a beautiful, beautiful gemara. And the gemara speaks about a praise that when a person is properly connected to learning, and his learning, his midos, reflect his connection to learning, and he's meshamesh tamid chachamim, and he's honest in business, and he speaks benachas im abrios, and he learns, and because of the learning, he is so ethical and so honorable and so praiseworthy. Ma habrios omros olav, what do people say about him? Ashrei aviv shelomdo Torah. Great is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shelomdo Torah. Great is his Rebbe who taught him Torah, because the Torah was authentically internalized and became, turned him into a certain kind of person. Obviously, if his ethics and his midos are not reflective of what Torah is supposed to bring about, so then the Gemara continues. I'm not going to read that part of the Gemara, but it says, woe is to his father and woe is to his Rebbe who taught him Torah, because he's distorted the ethics and the morality and the simcha that Torah is supposed to bring. So, any MTA guys here? So there's a Rebbe in MTA. There's a Rebbe in MTA. His name is Rav Beitler Shlita, who's actually no longer going to be an MTA, but we won't talk about that right now. And Rav Beitler and I were chavrusas. And I like to tell all this story towards the end of the year. We were chavrusas. And close friends. And I remember having him, he invited me over for a Shabbos in Long Beach. He lived in Long Beach. And we spent Shabbos together. And over the Shabbos meal, this is after we were in Yeshiva in YU. And over the course of Shabbos, we were basically, the Shabbos meal was basically Yeshiva Bachim doing what Yeshiva Bachim do, sharing Divrei Torah. We were learning, we were talking, learning, Yeshiva Hak and all of that. And at some point in the meal, Mrs. Beitler, Rabbi Beitler's mother, Alei HaShalom, says to us, guys, you're not in yeshiva anymore. It's time to move on. And she used the kind of real life line. And I had a little chutzpah back in the day. And my chutzpahdik response was, Mrs. Beitler, yeshiva is not a place. It's an attitude. And I firmly, firmly live by that message. It's something that I feel very deeply about and very strongly about, is it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference where you are. If you've properly, in the words of Malcolm Gladwell, if you've properly tipped and you've accumulated and you've grown and you're kind of in that direction, so then it doesn't matter. The fact that we're on Zoom and the fact that we're not exactly in the base medicine we want to be, but we can be growing, we can be stagnant, we can be developing, we can be in that world of in b'chukosai telechu, even though we're all by ourselves, we're also with each other, and we have the power of the tzibur, of the GOC, of the chevra, that can propel us. It's 5, gets to 44, gets to 100, and it accumulates, and it creates exponential growth, and it makes us so much stronger, so much more powerful, so much happier at the end of the day. And that's what we'd say every Shabbos, and maybe a Niggun when we get back together, Mitzvah Hashem. But every Shabbos, we speak about Torah as Eitz Chayim Hi L'machazikim Ba. Those who are machzik ba Torah, are grabbing onto Torah, they have that sense of Eitz Chayim, and Bez Hashem, Hashiveni Hashem Elecha, V'nasuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh and keep steiging.